Good evening from Jay, Oklahoma. Thank you for having me here. This is my second time to be here. My wife's with me this evening, Nicole, and our kids are at home this evening. But when I came in this evening, I gave a couple of flyers and little postcard-looking things. The second week of April at the Southside Church of Christ in Jay, we're having what we're calling an uplift seminar. And it's going to be the titled Raising a Godly Family in an Ungodly World. And that will be April 12th, 13th, 14th. That'd be Friday night, Saturday night, and then normal services on Sunday. And I will be doing the Friday night at 7 o'clock on the 12th, Knowing Right from Wrong. Saturday at 7 p.m. will be Craig Richardson, Enlisting God's Help. Sunday, 10 a.m. Bible class, Being an Example from Craig Richardson. Sunday morning sermon is Making Christ the Center of Your Home, Les Newkirk, and he's been here several times. And then Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, Practicing Unconditional Love, and I will be doing that. So just something to please. I know on Sunday you may not be able to make it if you're, of course, here for services, but maybe something if you grab a card and pass it along, and we would like to have you and as many that we can have that will join us. Definitely something we think is needed, raising a godly family in an ungodly world. I think it would be very uplifting to everyone that would attend. My lesson tonight, I guess if you had to give it a title, is when Jesus prayed for us, or the prayer of Jesus. If you go ahead and if you have your Bible or the one in front of you, if you'll turn to John chapter 17. Most of the text this evening will come specifically out of John 17. I guess if you had to have another title, it would be We Are in the World, but Not of the World. And I will reference that later in this message. So kind of relating the two. But before I begin this evening, I'd like to ask everyone if you'll go ahead and follow along. I'm going to read the entire text of John chapter 17 just to kind of get the full understanding of Jesus' prayer before he was arrested and then ultimately led to the cross. In this passage, we're reminded that Jesus actually prays for us. You know, what better gift is there? To think about that for a second, that John has recorded Jesus' prayer where he is actually praying for us. And he's praying for several different things that we'll look at. So it's a lengthy prayer, so before we break it down in each different part, let's go ahead and read that. So in the first part, where Jesus prays to be glorified. So after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may too, or that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So as we start breaking this down, the first part of why Jesus prays. Let's remember it. Jesus is praying at this particular point in his life or his ministry. This prayer occurs right before Jesus was arrested. So Jesus knows the hour is nearing and what is getting ready to come. First, Jesus prays to be glorified. The focal point of Jesus' prayer here was that God should be glorified through him. Jesus wanted to vindicate God's name, honor, and glory in the world. This was a spiritual battle with the devil. It was the devil who tempted men to doubt God's love and led them into sin. Since then, the devil has lied about God in every way, shape, and form. The devil has poisoned the hearts of people with pride, ingratitude, and bitterness until they became enemies of God who joined in his blasphemy. Jesus wanted to solve this problem from the root. Jesus wanted to reveal God's power over the devil. I lost my spot. Jesus wanted to reveal God's love that sacrificed even his only son for the salvation of mankind. Humanly speaking, the cross was a symbol of shame. It looked like utter defeat, but Jesus saw the cross as the glory of God. The cross proclaims God's love throughout history. The cross draws people from every tribe and language to surrender to God in worship. Jesus' prayer was that God's glory might be revealed even through his suffering and death on the cross. This should be the life purpose of all people. It should be the driving force in our prayers, our labor, and our relationships. Next, or secondly, as Jesus is praying in the scripture for his disciples, we hear Jesus say, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. So Jesus knows he's going to the Father, but his followers are not. He will no longer be with them in the same way, which leads him to saying this part of the prayer. While I was with them, he prays, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. So thinking of an example here, I think of those of us that have children. Isn't this what we're supposed to do as parents? Shouldn't we entrust them to God, knowing that someday we will no longer be with them? Praying that God will protect them. We teach them. We prepare them as best as we can. But at some point, it's going to be time for them to be on their own. To me, this is kind of what Jesus is doing here as he gets ready to go to the cross and ultimately to return to heaven. It's time for his disciples to do this without Jesus right there with them, at least physically. While Jesus was with his disciples, he could protect them. But now things are changing, and so he prays, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And the reason he is praying for their protection is important. It's so they may be one. You know, the truth is that the evil one wants nothing more than for us to not be one. Because he knows that a house that is divided cannot stand. The devil doesn't care what churches or people argue about just as long as we are arguing. The devil delights in this. Because if we are arguing about something or anything at all, then we're not able to give ourselves fully to the task of being unified together in Christ and being the church in the world. The next part he prays for about sanctification. Sanctify them in the truth. Jesus goes on in this prayer to ask for something else for us that is also very important. Sanctify them by the truth, he prays. There are two key words in this part of the prayer, of course, in the very short sentence, sanctify and truth. So first, sanctify, which literally means to be set apart. Jesus is praying that we would be set apart. We do not belong to the world, he says in his prayer, just as he does not belong to the world. We do not belong to the world, but we are sent into the world, he also says. So we are set apart from the world in order to be sent into the world. Believers in Jesus Christ are simply in the world, physically present, but not of it. We're not a part of its values. We can enjoy the things of the world, such as the beautiful creation that God has given us, but we are not to immerse ourselves in what the world values, nor are we to chase after worldly pleasures. Pleasure and worldly pleasures are not our calling in life, but rather the worship of God is. As believers, we should be set apart from the world. This is the meaning of being holy and living a holy, righteous life, to be set apart. We're not to engage in the sinful activities the world promotes, nor are we to retain the corrupt mind that the world creates. Rather, we are to conform ourselves and our minds to that of Jesus Christ. We are not to conform to the world. I'm going to repeat that to emphasize the importance. We are to conform ourselves and our minds to that of Jesus Christ and not to conform to the world. We live in a society that pressures us, threatens us through different measures with our jobs or how we live, and wants us to conform to worldly values. And as human beings, that is very difficult sometimes, and we give in because we're human and we sin. But we must conform to the characteristics and values of Jesus, the characteristics and the values that are represented in the Bible. We also must understand that being in the world but not of it is necessary if we are to be a light to those who are in spiritual darkness. We're to live in such a way that those outside the faith see our good deeds in our manner and know that there is something different about us. You know, when you see somebody and just say, there's just something different about that person. And I'm talking in a positive way. Say, man, I really like that man or that lady. I really like to be around them because of the aura or because of the presence they bring, just the godliness and the characteristics of Jesus of what they be. They're just sets us apart. They're just different. Christians who make every effort to live, think, and act like those who do not know Christ do him a great disservice. We should always exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, as in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Being in the world but not of the world kind of sometimes can be a little bit confusing, or might sound a little confusing. But the picture I have is a bunch of people who have been tossed into the ocean from a capsized vessel. They're all struggling to stay afloat. A few of them make their way on the lifeboats, and now they can help those who are still treading water. We, as followers of Jesus, are on the lifeboats. We have been set apart in that way. We no longer, quote unquote, belong to the ocean. We're still in the ocean, but we're not of the ocean. So we are in a unique position to help those that are still in the ocean, struggling to stay afloat. We know that the world can be a very tough place to try and stay afloat, especially when you don't have a lifeboat. There are many trials and tribulations in this world, and everyone is fighting some sort of battle in their lives, whether it be physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually. Everyone has their own battles that they're fighting. The world is full of battles. But remember, we are not of this world anymore. We follow Jesus, or those of us that believe and love Jesus, have been baptized as Christians. We do not belong to the world. And we can rest in that and have peace in that and comfort in that. And knowing that when our time on this earth ends, where our hope in eternity will be. We know that our God loves us, and that makes all of the difference. We've made our way onto the lifeboat, or more accurately, Jesus has lifted us onto the lifeboat. Now we are in a unique position to help others. So Jesus prays that we may be sanctified, that we would be set apart, lifted onto his lifeboat. He prays that we will be set apart or sanctified in the truth. But what is the truth? You know, in our world today, there's been a disappearance of the shared objective standards of truth. We all have our own truth in today's world, it seems like. Our world no longer shares an objective standard truth. The slogan of our time today may be, live your truth. And you've probably seen shirts that say those types of things. Live your truth. It's not a lie if you believe it. Do what you want to do. But I don't believe that Jesus would agree with this. In fact, what he says in his prayer is what I believe he would still say to us today, of course. He would still pray for us today, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The Bible is the truth. God's word is the truth. This is our shared objective standard of truth, not what the world says the truths are, because the world's truths change daily or every minute. But the Bible always has been the truth and always will be the truth. There's no argument about the basic point. God created us, loves us, but without Jesus, we're all drowning. We're treading water in the ocean that is this world, and it's pulling us under. And everything that this world might offer for help is also sinking. There is only one lifeboat. There is only one Savior, and he wants nothing more than to save us and save all of us. But do you remember Peter's famous attempt to walk on water? He did it for a few steps. But then he noticed the storm and the waves, and he began to sink. And when Peter began to sink, he cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, Matthew 14:31. This happens to all of us, doesn't it? Jesus wants nothing more than to reach out his hand and save us and everyone in this world. And that's exactly what he has done for us. And now that we've made our way onto his lifeboat, that we've been saved of this world by Jesus, he sends us back into the world. Because the words of this prayer immediately after, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth, is this: as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. We have been sent into the world in the same way Jesus was sent into the world, not to save the world, of course, but to introduce the Savior to the world, to remind the world of God's undying love for all of this world. This is the truth that anchors us in the storms of life and that fills us with hope and faith. It is the truth that makes our joy complete. It is the truth, our shared objective truth, that has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, our way, our truth, and our life, who loves us, who died for us, and who prays for us, then and now. Praying that we would be protected from evil, praying that we would be one, and praying that we would be so secure in his truth that we would be able to rescue those around us who are struggling to find a truth on which to rest and to build a life of meaning and hope. And Jesus is that truth. And he asks that we share it with the world and for that we do it faithfully and to the glory of God. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening and we praise you. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we know it's easy to take for granted the things that we have in this life. But Lord, I come to you this evening and I just pray that as we listen to the scriptures, the prayer in John 17, that we recognize that we are not of this world. As believers in Jesus, I pray that you be with us each and every day, that we try our hardest, knowing that we will fail, but that we recognize of the characteristics, the values, and the things that we need to do each and every day that we strive to be Christ-like, to be like your Son in our lives, and that we, when others see us, they recognize maybe there's something different about that person, and they begin to wonder why they're different, and they realize it's because of how we live our lives, because we have you in our lives. So we thank you for the love that you have for us, the endless love, through our failures, through tough times, through good times, whatever it is, the love you have for us, we thank you for that and praise you for that. And we love you, Father. So I pray that you be with us, each and every one here, and those that maybe that do not know you, do not have a relationship with you, that they will have the inclination to start to study your word and just reach out to maybe others that do have a relationship with you, that they start asking questions and have an interest and start to learn more about you and realize the love that you have for them as well that could change their lives forever. Lord, we love you. Again, we praise you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That is the lesson for this evening. I know there's an invitation song that has been chosen. If you need the prayers of this congregation, the prayers of the church, or want to have a relationship with Jesus, now would be the time to come forward as we stand.